Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 13th of May. We are pretty much smack in the middle of May, and we thought we would have an open line today. So here's the number. It's a chance for you to suggest guests, programs, ideas for the 9 to 11 o'clock hours here on the Ideas Network. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and you can send emails too. We'll probably ask you to send those to Rhonda and me, and we'll just compile those and use them for reference for future shows. Our email addresses, in case you can't get through today, is dunk@wpr.org. How could I forget my email address? dunk@wpr.org and fanning@wpr.org. Second hour of our program today, it's really a wonderful book, and there are strong Wisconsin connections. Red Orchestra, the story of the Berlin Underground and the circle of friends who resisted Hitler. That will be the second hour of our program today. Okay, let's hop right to your phone calls, and we will start our program with a call from Aaron from Viroqua.
Hello.
Hi, Erin. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
So I want to hear a birth related program.
A what related program?
A birth, like Ricky Lake had her book, Your Best Birth. It just came out, and The Business of Being Born was last year. And there's just so much happening around birth. There's a group Bold that invites women to put this play on that they've created in their own communities. Call it a red tent event. It might invite women to tell their own birth stories. So I feel like every woman I'm involved in, many women in my community are doulas, postpartum doulas, or, you know, something around that, breastfeeding support. It's just, I think it's booming, and it's all happening.
Okay, that'd be great. If you can send us a little more information via email on guests for that, that would be an interesting program.
I would love to, yeah.
Don't you wish you could remember when you were born? Such a significant event, and we can't remember a darn thing.
I agree. I think it would be lovely. I'm sure, I mean, maybe we can. Maybe you do, and you just don't know yet.
Yeah, maybe. I'd like to know. All right, that's a good suggestion, Erin. Something different for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Boyd from Milwaukee is next. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you, Boyd.
Well, thank you. I have actually four suggestions, and I'll try to make them brief. Sadly, for two of the books, I don't know the authors. The first one is The Baltimore Plot.
Okay.
And in detail, it's just about where there was a conspiracy to assassinate then-President Lincoln on his way to Washington, D.C., before he would start his first term as president.
Okay.
The next one is The Cosgrove Report. It is a fictional book. It's a mystery, and it does involve also... Now, this does involve the assassination of President Lincoln.
Okay.
The other two... did you ever have on Will Bunch?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, he wrote a book that I came across, Tear Down This Myth. It's a pretty critical book about former President Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
And then the final one, Henry Louis Gates Jr.
Okay.
He wrote a book, Lincoln on Race and Slavery.
Lincoln on Race and Slavery.
And there you go.
Well, all you have to do is say Lincoln.
I knew that would get your pen moving.
No, we can't overdo it, but every month or so, it's worth an exploration.
It's the bicentennial. As far as I'm concerned, the more Lincoln, the more Darwin, the more Poe, the better.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Boyd. Uh-huh. Bye. Yep. Kurt from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning. So much over the last couple of decades has in the news and in our public life in the state and the country as a whole has involved religion, expressions of religion, especially with regard to the so-called conservative right, social conservatives, and so forth. I would like to have more guests on from different church denominational leaders and especially theologians, church historians that can articulate the different positions, critiques, evaluations of churches with regard to our public life, our political life, war, poverty, etc. and how the different denominations and how the churches as a whole come at them. And wouldn't that be restricted just to Christian churches, but to other spokespersons for other the major religious groups as well? Give them time to really articulate why we believe, don't believe, advocate or don't advocate for one thing or another in our public and political and economic life.
All right, Kurt.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
Matt? it took me a little too long to express what I wanted to say, but
I got it.
You got
it. Okay. No, I got it. Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Shirley from Prentice is next. Hi, Shirley.
Hello, Kathleen. Thank you. This is probably so old, maybe nobody's interested in it, but it bothers me. I've always wondered about the capture of Saddam Hussein. How did he get stuck in that hole? He was a powerful man. Did he agree to hide in a hole? I never saw a picture of what it looked like in there. Some news about he had a package of shirts wrapped up. That was just the weirdest thing I ever heard of. I can't imagine why his powerful friends didn't hide him in a palace or something. And I just don't understand that whole capture.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anything written about it. I've never seen anything.
I'm sure that somebody must have written something about it.
I would think
so, too.
And how was he discovered? There was some news about a little piece of carpet sticking out of the ground. Well, you know, what did that mean?
Okay.
Somebody trying to show somebody else where he was?
Okay. So this has been bothering you all this time, I can tell, Shirley.
Well, it sure has.
I know. All right. We'll try and dig it up for you.
Well, thanks.
All right.
I always listen to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shirley. Thanks
Goodbye.
For the call. Dave from Menominee, Michigan is next. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, Congress is debating legislation today on our energy for the United States. And, you know, I got my bill a few days ago. And just for the electricity, now, my electricity costed $21, but they charged me $36 to send it to me. So that's where they make their cash. And we're being led on that we should just lay down and let these corporations start building big windmill fields, and so they can charge us a lot of money to send it to us. And we should eliminate that. We should be standing up. There should be somebody coming out and saying we should have our own ability to generate our own power for our own houses so that we don't get charged to have that electricity sent to us. Now, it's almost double. They charge me double just to send it, double the amount of what my electricity actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, in the 70s, I saw commercials that had, you know, if you have not a big windmill, I'm not talking everybody has to have these things. We should, you know, just like a TV antenna on the top of the house, we should be able to have a windmill that would generate, solar panels that would generate, and as we get better with generators and the batteries that we would have to have in our house, we would wean ourselves from these corporations, and that is really where we should be heading. Talk about jobs. These jobs would stay. Installing these things and maintaining them, if the government had a program where everybody was able to get one, depending on their household income, you know, it really would be, they can't ship those jobs overseas.
Right.
I would like to, I don't know who a guest would be, but I'd really like to hear somebody, you know, slap us in the face and say, look, you know, these companies are just trying to, you know, be able to generate more energy. They're not going to save us any cash. I mean, they're not looking at saving us money. They're still going to charge us and keep charging us and increasing 15% every year. We should be looking at, you know, severing ties with these and being truly independent.
All right. We do a lot of shows on energy and self-sufficiency, et cetera, but it may be time to look at that issue again, Dave.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
Tim from Ladysmith. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Couple of books. One is a really fascinating book I'm reading. It's a small book by a couple of brothers. Their last name is Harris. I don't know their first names, but it's called Do Hard Things.
Do Hard Things?
These kids were 16 years old, and they were given the youngest internship for Judge Patrick on the Supreme Court of Alabama. But it's basically a book that is challenging youth culture to live above mediocrity and to do things that are beyond making our beds and mediocre things. That
oh, that sounds interesting. Is that a new book, Tim?
Pardon?
Is that a new book?
Yeah, it came out, I think, just this year.
Okay.
Awesome little book, though, but very, not only for teens, it's just a very fascinating book.
Sure.
Well beyond, you'd never think a couple of teenagers would write such a book. It's amazing.
Sounds good.
Another book I'd like to recommend our guest would, and I think his name is David Bowers, and it's called While Europe Slept. A fascinating
yes.
book, American who went to Europe as basically a liberal gay man because he believed that he liked the fact that he could be married in Amsterdam and found out that Europe wasn't quite the paradise he thought it was, and how Europe is being overthrown by radical Islam at every turn, and just a really eye-opening book and fascinating.
Okay.
So anyhow, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for the call, Tim.
Bye.
Let's go to Joe from Oshkosh. And we have lines open. 800-486-8655 is the number. Hi, Joe.
Good morning. Well, my suggestion is taken from an article that was in the Wall Street Journal back in July 13th, 2006. And the title of it is How You Interact With Your Kids Today Can Affect Their Future Romantic Lives. And it kind of outlines research showing different styles of parenting, how that can actually affect the romantic lives of kids down the road.
Hmm.
So I thought that might be interesting.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. July 13th of last year?
No, of 06.
06? This has stayed with you a long time. Do you know?
Yeah, well, actually, I think I suggested it once before, but I don't think it ever got on. I don't listen every day, but most of the time, but I don't think it ever got on. So,
okay. Do you know who wrote the article?
Well, it's by I think she's still the working family person for the journal. It's Sue Schellenberger.
Okay. Okay.
So it suggests that there's a number of sources in there, other people besides her that, you know, that as far as researchers. So it's a good article.
All right. It must be if you remember it this well all these years later.
I just tuck it away in my little folder that has things that I'm interested in. So.
Okay. Good. Hey. It would be an interesting show, that's for sure. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Ann is next from Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I called John Conyers' office a couple of days ago because the Republicans have been saying that Nancy Pelosi was briefed, 40 times or something, about the torture starting very early. She only admitted to one briefing, I believe. But I wondered, you know, why there hadn't been some investigation by the House Judiciary Committee. And the aide I talked to said that everybody in Congress was aware of the torture from around 2002, and that they had been basically told by the Bush administration not to reveal anything they knew. And this woman also said that if Congress members wanted to use the Freedom of Information Act to find out exactly what was being done, the Bush administration issued an order, or maybe Congress passed an order, I think it was an executive order, saying they had to go through the CIA before any information would be released. And when they tried to go through the CIA under the Bush administration always denied their request. I would like to hear, you know, I really think stuff like this needs to be, it might embarrass members of Congress, but it certainly explains why Congress is so reluctant to go after anybody in the Bush administration for their torture and their illegal wiretapping and everything else illegal they did, because, in a sense, you know, they're all, or at least they all feel, they're complicit.
And who do you think has done the best reporting on this, Ann?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought this was sort of a shock to me because I thought it was, you know, we'd been told that it was just a few people. I don't know who would be a good reporter, except that there are some great, you know, I've never even heard it on Amy Goodman, but Well, what about, I'm sure you could find somebody if you looked into the, or maybe even try to get the way CBC does. They managed to get their public officials on the phone. They're not happy about it. They hem and haw, but, you know, and ask them exactly what the facts are. So maybe somebody in John Conyers' office could tell you, because I think he's had kind of a constant struggle with Nancy Pelosi, who's and Harry, well, you know, in the Senate with Harry Reid, because they have acted, or under the Bush administration, basically as suppressors of what was going on, because everybody was complicit in a sense, and Bush and Cheney wanted it that way. So I can't give you an exact name. I read an article in the Chicago Tribune magazine about Candace Gorman in last Sunday's paper. She's defending a couple of the detainees at Guantanamo Bay, and the article was written by, I have it right here, Tom Hundley, H-U-N-D-L-E-Y. I don't know whether he knows anything, but it was a really great article.
Okay. Good, Ann. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Ken from Oshkosh. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Right in line with the last couple of callers, what's happening behind the scenes? And this one, I don't know who, because of all the economists you've had on and the other shows have had on, nobody broaches it. About 2 months ago, I listened to a BBC overnight deal. They were talking from the place that sets the LIBOR rates for the banks in the morning. And the guy said that it influences $120 trillion every day. Now, if you take the 53 million square miles of the Earth, value each square mile at $100,000, that only comes to 53 times 10 to the 11th. It does not even reach a trillion. We are far beyond the capability of the Earth to support this amount of money. And I'd like to hear somebody explain how in the heck that ever happened.
Okay. All right, Ken. Thank you. We have an open line for the month of May right now and welcoming your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. And if you'd like to send emails to us, just send them to dunk@wpr.org and Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up in the second hour of our program today, the author of Red Orchestra, the story of the Berlin Underground and the circle of friends who resisted Hitler. It's in really a very well-written, totally absorbing book, and it looks at this story that's not very well known of domestic resistance to the Nazi regime. The Rote Kapelle, or Red Orchestra, was the Gestapo's name for an intrepid band of German artists, intellectuals, and bureaucrats, almost half of them women, who battled treacherous odds. Many gave their lives, actually, to unveil the brutal secrets of their fascist employers and oppressors. There are quite a few UW-Madison ties to this story. You'll find it quite gripping, and that's the second hour of our program. All right, 800-486-8655 for our open line for May, and we go to Tom from Rhinelander next. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi. I would like a program which I would entitle The Rest of the Story, an opportunity to look back, say, over the last year or 2 years at programs, big stories in the news that, were with us for maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then they faded away. And yet I'd like to know what happened. Say, for instance, the Michael Vick story. I understand that he served his sentence, but I don't really know what has occurred after that. And I was thinking maybe a guest to get would be someone like who Ben Maron has at the end of the year that would discuss the big stories of the year, someone from the press.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. We'd have to decide what those stories are. You know, we have to figure out some way. For a lot of people wondering whatever happened to. I think that would be a good idea.
Right. I know you'd probably have to limit it, you know, to the number, but I just think, and even some of the listeners might have some ideas,
sure,
too.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. I like it, Tom.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Bye. Lisa from St. Germain. Hi.
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 Midlife passages / crisis. I'm 50 years old, and I find myself at some crossroads at an age where I thought I'd be settled down and my life would be all spelled out in front of me.
Having a little bit of angst, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that we have never done a show on that, I don't think.
Be interesting.
It would be interesting, and how it affects people differently and at different ages, and a lot of people do things quite differently when they approach the age of 50. And
right.
Yeah.
You think you're going to be all settled and everything's spelled out for you and find yourself at some crossroads?
Right. I don't think things are ever all settled, though. Do you think, Lisa? They're just, that's just not living, unfortunately. Okay. All right, Lisa, it's a good suggestion.
Thank
you for the call. Dave is next from St. Francis. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Kathleen. I like your show. I listen quite a bit. And what I wanted to talk about was program diversity. I heard, I don't know if it was your channel or the other public radio channel this morning, a show about anti-smoking and all these laws. And I think that us people who do smoke need a show to speak up for what we think is right and our rights. And I also think there should be a show about white males. We seem to be the kicked around minority in the country today. I think there should be a show that would some group that speaks up for white males, because I think we're just in the minority and we're kind of kicked around, kind of like they were talking on Joy's show about the boys, how the young boys are misunderstood and stereotyped. And this is something I'd like to see.
How do you feel kicked around, Dave?
Well, I don't know. The focus seems to be on women, children, gays, lesbians, and transsexuals, and people like the teachers' union seems to get all kinds of press here. You know, just the average blue-collar white male. I'd like a show on them.
All right, and how they're getting kicked around.
I just feel ignored. I feel a lot of things like that. Just kind of like there's been much exploitation in our history. I mean, Europeans in general, we came over here and we stole the country from the Indians. Let's face it was terrible. But the white male of today, especially the working class guy, we're pretty good people, you know, and I think we need a show to talk about us.
Okay, I got you. All right, Dave.
You got me?
Got you. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you.
It was very direct. Thanks for the call. All right, let's go next to Frank from Madison. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a white male. And I would say that's a touchstone, which is the central character who may be responsible for a great deal isn't necessarily to blame. But this is what I called in to talk about.
Okay.
There's going to be a conference on adaptation to climate change this fall in Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like many other things, underreported. And I would like to suggest that you attempt to get Nicholas Stern.
Okay.
Lord Nicholas Stern, who's the chairman of the Grantham Institute on Environment and Climate Change, to be a guest.
Okay.
Because he is the economist who made the cost-benefit analyses that would indicate that it's very cheap to head off further damage to the environment by moderating CO2.
Okay.
And there's an industry that says it would be very expensive. And he's written a book saying that the investment to head off what will be a disaster is well worth it. And I think he may still be in the States, but he's definitely willing to be interviewed. And
wonderful.
Perhaps WPR would get him.
Well, of course. What, do you know the name of the book, Frank?
I'll email you the
okay.
exact title, but you may already have it.
Okay, great,
and
yeah.
And the second thing is do a program on the feasibility or lack thereof of carbon capture.
Okay.
So thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you, Frank.
Bye.
Always a pleasure to hear from you, Frank. Let's go to Adam from Rockford, Illinois. Hello, Adam.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I recently listened to an audio book called Seven Generations of Sioux Medicine Men, I believe it was called, and I think it was by a Native American named Crow Dog. And it brought to light a lot of the atrocities that we had done to the Native Americans just in claiming this country, you know. And I think it would be, you know, it's something that you don't learn about in history class, you know, being that our history books were written by the conquerors, not the ones who got conquered. So a lot of things get twisted and omitted and stuff. And I think it would be valuable for some of the public to hear, you know, some of the things that were done, and like at Wounded Knee or the Pine Ridge Reservation when the American Indian Movement had tried to stand up for what they believed in and how we just basically lied, cheated, murdered, stole land, and infected a whole race of people just because we wanted to get their land from them.
Okay, Adam. Is this a new book, Seven Generations of Sioux Medicine Men?
I'm not too sure.
Okay.
I don't really know.
All right. We'll look it up.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for the call. 800-486-8655 is our number. I'm not sure how to pronounce your name, so I'll ask you from Milwaukee. Is it Musier or?
Musier.
Musier?
Hi, Musier, yeah.
Hi, Musier.
How you doing? I like your show. I'm concerned about there is the Bush administration about thousands of people being denied of their green card by the INS
mm-hmm.
because of their Patriotic Act. So nobody will talk about this one. It's, can you find somebody can talk about this one, explain, and what is going to happen and what's happening would be great I could to hear about.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that would be an interesting show for us to look at green cards and look at the whole issue of immigration reform, which we know is going to be discussed, but we're not sure when. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Monsieur, for your call.
Bye-bye.
We go to Mohammed from Madison next. Hi, Mohammed.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I would like to hear a show on maternal gatekeeping and particularly how it plays out in some of our institutions, educational and correctional system, et cetera. I don't believe it's a purely African-American phenomenon. I think it takes place in all communities, but you know how some things are louder in some communities than others, but maternal gatekeeping.
All right, you want to flush that out a little for me? Meaning what?
Maternal gatekeeping is a concept that sort of says that moms, and particularly sometimes when the dad is president, but I think predominantly when he's absent, tends to be a gatekeeper as opposed to a gateway. And this plays out in some of the studies about children having more contact with their fathers.
Okay.
And so the term gatekeeper mom is one that I hope it doesn't become stereotypical, but it basically talks about a person who doesn't give the dad or the child a gateway to have a relationship. I act more as a gatekeeper than a gateway.
Okay. All right, Mohammed, where are you? It sounds like you're at a zoo or something.
I'm at the Willie Street Co-op.
Oh. Okay.
And my grandson, I'm attending to my grandson, so I'm multitasking.
Okay. That'll make your brain strong. Yeah, right. Thanks very much, Mohammed, for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655. We go next to Julie from Oshkosh. Hi, Julie.
Hi. You know, last time I called in, I suggested doing a show on dogs, and we've been doing shows on dogs, which is great. So
I'm glad you like them. I love doing shows on dogs.
I do, too. I just hope my dogs don't start barking like crazy while we're trying to talk.
No, I think that'd be good. I think you should make them talk.
Bark, dogs, bark.
Hey, guys.
They will. Anyhow, I teach at one of... Well, I teach at University of Wisconsin Oshkosh, so I'm probably giving away who I am. Oh, no. And not only have we gotten very low pay increases in the last several years when we've gotten them at all, this year we're not getting any. We're actually taking a pay cut, and we're having to put more money into health insurance, meaning we're actually taking a huge pay cut. And I know that the universities have gotten disproportionate cuts as the budget deficit has gone forward. I'm kind of interested in who else has been affected. I know that the students don't understand that while they're getting pay increases or, you know, tuition increases, we're getting pay cuts. So I think it would be interesting to talk about how that kind of money is handled, what other state employees are getting cuts, where the other cuts to the budget are going, and why the universities are getting such disproportionate.
Okay. All right. At the risk of being self-serving, because we're in the same category as you,
yeah.
It would be interesting to see where cuts are coming. I think we need to see a little bit more about where the budget is going, and I know that we're getting daily information about that. So we will do a show on that.
Yeah,
it's just a little while.
Probably would, but...
How are the doggies?
They are very good. They're just lying here now that the garbage trucks have gone by, and they're calm and just wondering if they're going to get some treats.
Aww.
Which is what they're always wondering.
I took my dog to my son's baseball game last night, which was not a good idea because he is a little bit, you know, somebody said, your dog is still like a puppy, right? Is that a puppy? I said, no, he's five. But this morning he was just so exhausted he couldn't put his head up.
Yeah, my dogs would think that it was a game for them to chase the ball.
Right.
It might be kind of, yeah, chaos.
Yeah, maybe we'll skip the next game.
Yeah.
All right, Julie, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Cindy from Minocqua. Hi, Cindy.
Hello there. I would like to suggest for the gentleman that was talking about getting off the grid that there's a company in California that I think would be fascinating to hear from. They're called PacWind. PacWind, and it's PacWind.com. And they have a wind turbine that's 4 feet tall that is 30 inches in diameter, and it's round, and it has, like, fins in it. And it actually is one of the only ones that I found that can take the snow, the cold, the sleet, the ice, and still continue to... make energy, and it starts making energy at 1.7 miles per hour wind. So it's really fascinating. I think that would make a great show. And it's affordable. It's $4,500. One of the other shows I would love to hear is on something Oprah did recently is on, also with the woman in the 50s is the bioidenticals instead of the, horse pee, which is what the, what is that? Hormone replacement therapy pills are made out of. So I would like to see something like that. And then I have one more suggestion, and that is follow up for special needs parents who adopt special needs children.
Okay. Okay.
And that's it.
All right. That's a wide range of topics.
Yeah, well, okay. You know, I love listening, so, you know, and I don't learn something every day from you, I'm disappointed.
That's our mission. Got to learn something new every day.
You betcha.
Yeah, thanks, Cindy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Dorothy is next from West Dallas. Hello, Dorothy.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The first caller says something about not remembering our birth. Is that correct?
She wanted, no, I said that. She wanted something on birth.
All right, there's a research book out. At the time, my nephew was 3 and 4 years old. He's a freshman in college now. And there was, the author did a research on children remembering their birth, and she had the telephone number and whatnot to contact her for any research. She did a project on it. Very, very interesting. And I tried something out with my nephew at that time because he was about that age. You remember your birth up to about 3, 4 years old. The problem is language. They don't have the language, or we don't have the understanding to understand their language and baby talk. And the other thing that is very much on remember your birth and the effects of birth is the whole study of epigenetics in Germany and England and all over in Europe. They have a conference on epigenetics once a year. Extremely eye-opener to who we are and where we came from and what is the importance of the environment of the uterus. And then the other one is on history. Someone was talking about the Congress and the Senate and the CIA. Well, Russ Baker, the author, was just on television Saturday, and it was recorded from March 24th, 2009, on his book, Family of Secrets. And then you might get an understanding, we might get an understanding, why the legislative body was so lame during the administration of the Bush. It's a history, and it's revealing. And he also has a website, whowhatwhy.com.
Okay. Whowhatwhy.com.
Yes, and I had to take a several times listening to you give the telephone number. I couldn't get it. I have a very hard time when you give the telephone number over the phone, over the radio.
You can't, why, you can't hear it? Or?
Well, you say all numbers, and people who can't grasp that can't get it. If you say once in a while, 486 or 486 or 8655 instead of 8655, it's a bunch of numbers, and you say them fast, you say them clear, but I had to listen several times to get the telephone number.
Okay.
And that was in the past, too, when you had, I think, the other 800.
Okay.
Okay, thank
thanks,
you,
Dorothy.
And,
thank you.
And I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. No, I don't know how to give the phone number. 800, I just am so used to, 486, should I say 8655? Is that easier? Actually, that's the way I was taught to remember. What was I supposed to remember? Remember people's ages somehow. If you, I don't know why I would want to know people's ages. If you remember two 22-year-olds, two people are 22, knew each other in college, or a 35-year-old married to a 25-year-old. Or is it easier to remember if you do 8655? Do you think so, Rob? I don't know. Well, at any rate, the number is 800-486-8655. So think of an 86-year-old and a 55-year-old. There you go. That's what I wanted to. That's what I was trying to do. 8655. All right. I see. That might be easier. Dorothy, thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Peggy from Madison. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. I have a pet peeve about going green. I mean, I don't have a pet peeve about that. I think it's wonderful. But I've been noticing in stores when I go food shopping that more and more products are individually wrapped. And I'm not going to say the brand name, but one of them is prunes, which are individually wrapped. And I think, oh, my gosh, what a waste. And as a former preschool teacher, I can see where some of those things would be wonderful for lunches, but what are we teaching our children? But anyway, that, and I also noticed that there's a very popular vegetable drink that it mostly comes in a nice plastic container. But one day I was looking at the same drink, and it was next to it on the shelf, and it was in a can, and it was almost like 75 cents cheaper than the bottled type, and I don't get it. You know, I really don't get it. So it's kind of a small topic, but I think that it's kind of it's very important for companies who are touting going green to look at their pre-cycling and just take that into account. And I have one more thing that I guess I didn't think about until I was on the air is I think it's wonderful to be global about poverty and in Africa and other countries, but I'd also like to see some very, very big superstars concentrate on some of the problems we have in the United States and Native American reservations and Appalachia, and we're, you know, we have many, many children who are just living in poverty in the United States, and so I'd kind of like to hear a little bit about that and why that's happening. So that's
okay,
all I have
Peggy.
To say. Thank you.
Thanks, yes. Peggy. Thanks for the call. More phone calls during our open line for May. 800-486-8655 is the number. If you'd like to send emails, you can do that. That's let me do Rhonda's email and my email address, because we're not going to read these over the air, but send them to us. And now those addresses are dunk@wpr.org and Fanning, FANNING, @WPR.org. Returning to your calls momentarily, I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Following the news from National Public Radio, the author of Red Orchestra, the story of the Berlin Underground and the circle of friends who resisted Hitler. It's quite a story, extremely well written. So that's coming up, hour number two. All right, returning to your phone calls, Ellie is next from Viroqua. Hello, Ellie.
Hi. Kind of getting on with the last caller was saying about the poverty in the U.S. and the Indian reservations. There's a group called the One Spirit, and the main lady is Jerry Baker, and she's out of Virginia. And it's a group that's all volunteer. No money is paid to any of the volunteers, and she deals a lot with the Pine Ridge and Rosebud reservations, and it's not like a hand out but a hand up kind of thing. They help with the Bigfoot ride, different youth rides, trying to get the youth to not be angry but to kind of, you know, go on from here. So I think that would be kind of interesting.
Sure it would. All right, Ellie.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye.
Kim is next from Hartford. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Hi.
My suggestion would be to have a program featuring
what?
The Germans from Russia Heritage Society.
Okay.
It is headed by a gentleman at the University of North Dakota with the name of Miller. I'll email it.
Kim, I'm so sorry, but your phone is just cutting out. I'm getting every other word. So if you can send us an email about that. I got as much as the Germans from Russia Heritage Society, and I can't get any more than that. So please send us an email, and because we do want to hear what your suggestion is. Thank you. Tony from Fox Point. Hi.
Hi. Do you remember who that general was from the Abu Ghraib scandal? Was that Janet Karpinski?
Right.
So I think she would be a good guest now that she was held accountable for things that the Bush administration said it was not illegal at the time. So I think it'd be I'd like to hear what she would have to say lately now that, you know, that happened.
Yeah, that ties in with whatever happened to. Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe some of those few bad apples, that girl with the thumb. Maybe get hold of her. So thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Dave from Genesee. Hi, Dave.
Oh, hi. Yeah, sorry, I didn't finish writing mine yet, but great show. I'd like to hear from an expert on sustainability who might use a mathematic equation to prove that the human population is proving to be much of our, you know, the problem, most of the problems that we have in the world today from... problems. I mean, there's just too many people needing too much, and we're completely devastating our environment.
All right, population growth. We've done shows on that, but we will do more, I'm sure. And if you ever have a particular guest you think is worthy of an hour of airtime to talk about the issue, let us know.
Great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dave. Caitlin is next from Madison. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
You have on your show quite often people who talk about, you know, finances for retiring people. And I think especially in a town like Madison, it would be awesome to have a show about financial aid for students and how to repay those loans and how to maybe get more. So that'd be great.
Okay. We've done it, but not for a long time. So it's probably time to do another program on that.
Yeah, and it might be better done during the school year rather than the summer, so my suggestion is not very timely, but
it's all right.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks, Caitlin. You too.
Bye.
Rick from Woodruff. Hi, Rick.
Hi, I'm actually driving a truck down Highway 51 here, and I read an article the other day regarding the amount of money that the Obama administration is spending, and I'd like to see somebody go into more detail on this. The article went into the fact that Generation X, meaning the 30, 40-year-olds now, the Generation X, along with their children, are now in debt to the tune of $200,000 each in tax money that they will have to pay in order to pay back this debt. Our government keeps spending money. I've got bills, too. I could go out and get credit cards and spend money and pay off with loans, which essentially is what the federal government is doing. But at some point, people have to realize this debt's going to have to be paid off. And the Generation X right now, in debt to the tune of $200,000 a piece, is in a few years is going to devastate this country and this economy.
All right, Rick. It's a good issue for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye, Kurt from Springbrook. Hi.
Hi. I'd like you to have on a guest talking about what we can learn as far as like environmentally sustainability from the people that lived, you know, in the first 350,000 years of human history, which we would call prehistory. I mean, how come they were able to live here for so long without overpopulating the continent, without destroying their land base, and stuff like that? I mean, we kind of wring our hands over these environmental issues, but we don't really look to what they can teach us and what worked for them. For example, I mean, they lived in a social organization called tribes, and we kind of poo-poo that now, but maybe they have something to show us.
Okay. Hey, have you read something on it that we could access, Kurt? Or?
Well, I came across the idea through Daniel Quinn's novels like Ishmael, My Ishmael. And, yeah, that's part of what he's doing with his novels is looking at that first 350,000 years of human history and showing us what worked.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not advocating going back to living like that because it would be impossible with our population and technologies now. But what can we learn from him?
Okay. Thanks, Kurt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bruce from Green Bay. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks
Hi,
for taking my call.
Sure.
My two suggestions. One is Dr. Daniel Amen, just like at the end of a prayer. He's written several books on brain functioning, brain scans, brain injury. There are several different kinds of ADHD. Soccer injuries and what it does to the brain, just many different things with the brain would be fascinating.
Okay.
And the second one is the men's movement since Robert Bly and we're all supposed to discover our inner warrior, and then we went to the Promise Keepers. I'm real tired of the Tim Allen portrayal of men, and what's a healthy male adult like? We're no longer Robert Redford. We don't want to be Tim Allen. What are we supposed to be like?
Well, it must be people who should be like you, right?
Well, I would like to think so. I'm not sure my wife or my parishioners would, but.
Yeah. All right, yeah, we're getting a couple calls. Men are taking their identity to heart today, it sounds like, on our open line. All right,
yes.
Bruce. Okay.
Thank you much.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Timothy is next. Hi, Timothy.
Good morning. I'm a television watcher, and over the years, I've been noticing the amount or ratio of commercials on television is just getting to be terrible. I think it's half commercials and half program. I'd like to, I'll let you guys check that out a little bit, and you might be able to do a program on it, and you can do us all a big favor. And I thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. I'm not sure. There used to be a certain number of minutes, at least I know on radio. I don't know what it is on television. I'm sure there are some kinds of, but I'd like to look that up. That would be, and then some of the ads, here we go. And then some of the ads that you see on television, you wonder, I just grew up in another age. What is this doing on television? So we'll look that up. That piqued my curiosity. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And let's go to Richard from Elkmount. Hi, Richard.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your show. A number of suggestions. Someone from the National Wellness Institute at UW-Stevens Point, which has existed for over 30 years and looks at low-cost ways to enhance health care in the United States.
Great.
They're wonderful. Second idea, somebody from DPI or people for and against school consolidations to, I guess my thinking is to increase curricular opportunities in smaller school districts where there seems to be a lot of resistance, but yet from an educational perspective, there are advantages.
Okay, and Richard, you're going to have to give me 3 and 4 online because we are plumb out of time. It was a real fast hour. Our email address, thank you, those are good suggestions, Richard, would be dunk@wpr.org and Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at wpr.org. Thanks for all of your suggestions. I think it was a worthwhile open line, don't you? We'll return with a fascinating hour ahead, so please stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.